Mormonism 101, a book by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson, has helped many who want to understand what separates Mormonism from the Christian faith. Mormonism 101 is available at your favorite Christian bookstore or online at mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
In Mormonism, is baptism enough to receive exaltation? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry, and with me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We've been looking at an article in the December 2021 edition of the Liahona magazine. It was an article titled "The Matchless Gift of God's Divine Son." It was written by a Mormon elder, a 70, by the name of Kashiko Yamashita. And again, if I'm mispronouncing that, I do apologize. But anyway, in this article, he is talking about how Heavenly Father gave us the gift of His Son, whose life and mission have brought us many other precious gifts. And so he's going through a number of subheadings explaining what some of these gifts are. Well, towards the end of this article, he talks about how his father-in-law, who was 95 years old, was baptized into the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And he said that it was truly a miracle for his children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. We had waited for his baptism for a long time. What a gift for our family. And he asked the question, what changed him? Why did he commit to be baptized? And I think that's a very important question, and we find the answer in this section. Well, he talks about how after his father-in-law had a stroke, he was in the hospital, and the wife of Mr. Yamashita went to go see him, and he mentions how that his father-in-law was very pleased to see his daughter. He had been afraid that he couldn't see her before he died. He started to tell her many things that he was worried about. He was thinking about his funeral. But then his wife says this, according to the story.
Father, if you trust in God and leave everything to Him, your mind will be at ease and you will feel peace. She explained about Heavenly Father's plan of happiness and what the Savior Jesus Christ has done for us. They talked about the spirit world, where my father-in-law's wife, his oldest son, and his parents already are. The next world will be amazing, she said.
The next world will be amazing, she said. Now, I want you to notice something here. It's already pretty much assumed that Mormonism must be true for his wife to tell his father-in-law when they talked about the spirit world where my father-in-law's wife, his oldest son, and his parents already are. Well, that's only true if Mormonism is true. And of course, that's the big question. But what I find fascinating here, that when she talks to her father about Heavenly Father's plan of happiness, in saying that if you trust in God and leave everything to Him, your mind will be at ease and you will feel peace. Yet, Eric, when we talk to Latter-day Saints on the street, and we challenge them as to whether or not they have an assurance that they are going to be in the celestial kingdom with Heavenly Father, to be exalted, to be with their family. They don't usually exhibit this kind of peace that's being discussed here. In fact, as you've mentioned earlier this week, they usually have no idea if they've qualified to receive that gift. Now here, folks, this becomes important. The gift of exaltation is offered freely, but it's not a free gift. There is something that must be exchanged in order for that gift to be given. So when his wife tells his father-in-law, the next world will be amazing, if that's really so true, why is it that so many Latter-day Saints have a great deal of angst wondering what awaits them after they die? Now, you could say, well, maybe they're not worried because at best they're probably going to go to the terrestrial kingdom anyway, but I don't think that's what his father-in-law was looking forward to. In fact, that comes out in the next section.
How many times have we talked to people like that, and they just kind of look at you and say, well, I guess we'll just all find out in the end, as if that's going to placate the entire matter. And the idea that if you're in the judgment and you're at the great white throne, you're toast. There is this this resurrection onto damnation we talked about. Jesus talks about in John chapter 5, verse 29. You know, I think that's a cop-out because they know they're not doing everything they're supposed to in order to get to the celestial kingdom.
But here's what's interesting. In the very next paragraph, after she says the next world will be amazing, Yamashita goes on to say that his wife told him also that it is better to be able to go there without sin. Now, I would agree with that because God cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance, according to Doctrine and Covenants, section 1, verse 31. So in the context of Mormonism, and I would say even according to what I believe, God does not look upon sin with the least degree of allowance. So of course it would be better to go there without sin. The question is how do you do that as a Latter-day Saint?
Well, verse 32 does answer that. After it gets done in saying that God doesn't look upon sin with the least degree of allowance, and it says, nevertheless, he that repents and does the commandments of the Lord shall be forgiven. And Bill, that's a concept that's found throughout LDS scripture and certainly found throughout many, many general authorities who have spoken authoritatively from General Conference.
Now, I'm going to assume that Mr. Yamashita's wife said much more to her father in this conversation. I'm just going to have to assume that. But the problem is the reader wouldn't know what else she said, and yet this is what we are given. She also told him that it is better to be able to go there without sin. She said that thanks to the atonement of Jesus Christ and thanks to baptism, he could be spotless before God. Well, yeah, if he dies right after he's baptized. I mean, as he's coming out of the water, if he dies right then, I'd say, well, according to Mormonism, he's in a pretty good shape right then. The problem is we don't get the impression that he dies right after he's baptized. What does that mean? It means that because of the atonement of Christ and thanks to baptism and continually keeping the commandments, that's what's essential. So just to say to an individual, well, because of the atonement, and if you get baptized, you could be spotless before God, unless she gave some more details, I would say that would have been a very misleading message to give her father.
Because if that is really the message that she gave him only, that's not what Mormonism teaches. That certainly is contrary to what we just cited from Doctrine and Covenants Section 1 and many other places, that it's not just getting baptized and through the atonement. The atonement does provide for general resurrection. If he says, I want to be baptized, as this article says, then I would say he might not have been given enough information thinking that maybe by getting baptized, that's all he had to do.
Well, it goes on after he says he wants to be baptized. Then he said it has been wonderful to see your children establish their own faith and continue to go to church, keep the commandments, and rely on God. Now, this is where I get a little bit suspicious. Would a person who's not a part of the LDS Church use the phrase, keep the commandments? That is a phrase that is certainly a part of Mormonism. So maybe he was influenced by his daughter talking to him about this at other times. I don't know. But certainly he's got some kind of knowledge of Mormonism if he said, keep the commandments.
There's another verse we could use, Doctrine and Covenants, section 25, verse 15. Keep the commandments of God. How often? Continually. And unless you do, where I am, you cannot come.
Well, it goes on to say, after he was talking about how proud he was of his kids and grandkids, he says, I am so impressed with them. And softly and with emotion, he said, family is really important. It is wonderful that our family can be one.
What's his motive, Bill?
That's a great question. What was his motive for being baptized then? And this goes back to what we've said numerous times on this show. Rarely do we ever hear a Latter-day Saint say that one of the greatest things they look forward to after they die is to be with Jesus. It's all about being with their family. They want to be with family. That's what this man seems to be implying as well. Family is really important. It is wonderful that our family can be one. However, what is often overlooked in this idea of being with your family is not only would Mr. Yamashita's father-in-law have to be perfectly righteous and keeping all the commandments and having repented fully of all his sins, but also his children and grandchildren will have to accomplish that same goal. If you have a child who does not meet that expectation, if he does not keep celestial law, according to Mormonism, that child will not be with you. The spouse who does not keep celestial law will not be with you. If you, as a Latter-day Saint, do not keep celestial law, you will not be qualified to go into the celestial kingdom. So for his wife to tell her father, well, because of the atonement of Christ and thanks to baptism, you could be spotless before God, that's not giving a complete picture of what is absolutely essential according to Mormonism.
Bill, it's interesting because many Latter-day Saint leaders have not expressed as much hope as this woman has. Listen to what Joseph Fielding Smith, the 10th president of the church, said in Doctrines of Salvation, Volume 2, page 15. He says, not half the Latter-day Saints to be saved. Those who receive the fullness will be privileged to view the face of our Father. There will not be such an overwhelming number of Latter-day Saints who will get there. And that's in italics. President Francis M. Lyman many times has declared, and he had reason to declare, I believe, that if we save one half of the Latter-day Saints, that is, with an exaltation in the celestial kingdom of God, we will be doing well. Not that the Lord is partial, not that he will draw the line, as some will say, to keep people out. He would have every one of us to go in if we would, but there are laws and ordinances that we must keep. If we do not observe the law, we cannot enter.
And that's why, towards the end of this article, I ask a huge question, because he says his gospel was and is a message of peace and goodwill. How can this be a message of peace just based on that quote that you just gave from Joseph Fielding Smith? How can a Latter-day Saint really have peace knowing that one of his own prophets said that they're going to be fortunate if half of the Latter-day Saint population makes it into the celestial kingdom?
The way I understand it, only about a quarter of all Latter-day Saints of the 16 million have temple recommends. So that right there would say three quarters of all Latter-day Saints, if they're not doing the work in the temple or they've never done that work before, are not going to end up in the celestial kingdom. How do they hope to get there? If you're a Latter-day Saint and you're thinking that, well, somehow by God's grace, I'm going to get in. Well, that's not what your leaders have taught.
And I think it goes back to this whole thing that even though that Heavenly Father, as he says, gave us the gift of his Son, really the only gift you get free without doing anything, according to Mormonism, is resurrection. But even that, according to Mormonism, becomes suspect because some are going to be resurrected into condemnation. How can that be looked upon as anything positive? Everything else, all the other gifts, a Latter-day Saint must work for.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.